Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
If you don't know who I am, I used to have the honor of pastoring this church. We moved here in 2010 to pastor this church, and it was a, all right, two people liked me. No, it's all, so, and we were honored. My wife is Leanna right back there, and yeah, one person likes her. I love her. But in 2016, I just knew that God was opening a door for me, and so now I am a police officer in Tipton, and I love my job. I love what I do. I love being in the community and being able to pastor in a different way, which by the reality of it, by the way, folks, is you should be doing the same thing in your job. You're pastoring, you're shepherding in the job that God has put you in. You don't have to have the pulpit, the platform to do it. Your platform is where your feet go every day. Huh? Okay. So go out and do that. But I love what I do, and I love that God brought us Pastor Cynthia and Steve and just what God's doing in and through her. So she had collaborated with myself, Pastor Larry, and with James Richardson and Steve, and I don't know, AG, are you part of this little team too here? So we're going to kind of all kind of get together, and we kind of got together last week or week 2 weeks ago. Time just is weird to me right now. I don't even know what, it's Sunday, right? So we got together, and we were just kind of all, what's the Lord laying on your heart? And so she asked me, as she was asking everybody, and I said, you know, I don't know if this is something for the church or if this is specifically for me, but I know what God has been laid on my heart for probably the last few months. The thing that keeps coming to my heart is the acronym WIN, W-I-N, and that stands for What's Important Now. What's Important Now. And that wasn't just, that's for like every part of my life of what's going on. I mean, if you had come to my house right now, or any time within the last number of years that we've been there, I'm a project guy. I'm good at starting projects. Anybody good at starting projects? Anybody have trouble focusing on, let's get that project done before we start another project? Or do you just like, okay, I'm bored with that one. Let's move on to another project. It's kind of my life, right? And so that's in a practical sense. What's important now? I'm like, we just need to get some of these things done that I started. So, I mean, that's been rolling. But it just kind of opened up and flowed into my spiritual. What's important now? And I know that there are days that are busier than others, and I know that I'm no different than you, and we have days that I think we struggle, we have days that we feel like we have victory, and everything in between, but what's important now is, am I really hanging with Jesus as much as I can? Am I really, really getting the fullness of Christ? And standing here before you, honestly, I know that I need to keep reminding myself of that. So I'm going to read this text to you, and then we're going to kind of go back, and we're going to kind of dissect it a little bit. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13, it might be up there. Thank you very much. So you can just follow along. I'm going to read it all. We're going to go through chapter 1, 13 through 25, and then just a little bit into chapter 2, and then we'll go back and we'll pick it apart because it's Sunday and we have all day, right? All right. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents, right? We're not live. This isn't forever. Amen? Let's think about this for a second, because I think that bow is a beggar. Amen. This isn't forever. Amen. Amen. So, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ Jesus, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Chapter 2. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So what's important now? The author of this text that I just read is Peter, and Peter was an apostle, right? And Jesus called him from being a fisherman, said, let's not fish for fish, let's fish for men. Jesus called him, Peter, I got to hang out with Jesus. Peter understood the reality of foot and mouth disease, I think, as probably some of us have suffered with over the years. He would say something and go, why did I say that? Ooh, he would do something, and why did I do that? But this is the Peter, and this is in Acts chapter 4:13. Peter and John, they prayed for this crippled man who'd been crippled for life, it said, or since he was born. They prayed for him. The Bible miraculously, this dude comes back, ankles and bones are snapped back into shape. The dude says he's running and leaping and praising God. And then people are ticked at this. And they bring Peter and John in, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all these leaders. They bring them in. They say, what in the world are you doing? And I love this scripture. I love this because I was like, yeah, this is this first part I totally identify with. The second part, I hope and I pray that I can identify with. It says that they saw that the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were educated, common men. I'm there. I get it. They were uneducated, common men. Yeah, somebody caught it. You should have thrown something at me, man. $5 bill next time. Throw it at me next time. If I get something wrong, just throw money at me. Uneducated, common men. And I'm like, dude, I know that part. But then the second part that says, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Even this Jesus that they don't like, that they don't care for, that they don't follow his teaching, they know his teaching. And they know what this Jesus is like, and they say, listen, I don't know what happened here, but these guys, they've been with this guy Jesus, because this is what this guy Jesus does. He goes around doing these weird things like healing people, forgiving people, giving people hope, and that is upside down world, right, back then? It's okay to give me upside down world back then, upside down world today that we still live in church? Let's turn this world back upside down. But do people recognize that you have been with Jesus? What's important now, gang? Have you been with Jesus? Peter says in verse 13 there, he says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Think clearly because the salvation of Christ that is in you now, it's leading you daily until Christ takes you home. What we do today will affect our tomorrows, right? So, we do all kinds of things. Hopefully, we do all kinds of things today. Sometimes we just do it out of motion. It's just habit. We do it. Sometimes we have to do it intentionally. But we do things today to affect our tomorrows. We set our, hopefully, in our 20s, and Leah and I are guilty we didn't, so that we're catching up now. But in our 20s, we should have started setting up the IRA, the retirement plans, right, to get ready for our tomorrows, because now we're getting closer to our tomorrows, and so now we're trying to play catch-up. We try to do that stuff. What's important now, we do things, hopefully we eat healthy and maybe we exercise and we do things because I want to live a long life. Or maybe we do things because I want to have a good relationship with my wife so I don't say things to her face about her where she's in swinging distance. I make sure I'm in the other room or where she can't throw stuff at me. What's important now is that I think about what are the actions, what are the repercussions of my actions going to be? Which working now in my new profession, a lot of people don't think things through. Matt, you see some of these people. Pam, you see some of these people. But God bless Matt and Pam and others like you who are in that place because you know what? I've told people oftentimes, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't the end of the world, going to jail, going to prison. It's not the end. You can, absolutely. So we have ministers in the prison system. Amen. Thank God. So we do these things. You ever said this phrase? I'm sure that I might be the only one. I wasn't thinking very clearly. I wasn't thinking at all. But Peter says we need to prepare our minds for action. Now, in studying that scripture out a little bit in the text here, some commentaries say that understanders, the hearers of this word in that time, would understand it to be somebody at that time because they didn't dress, they didn't have the Levi's and the Under Armour shirts, they had their own garments, right? That usually even the guys that they wore, whatever, those man dresses. And then they would just kind of flow in the wind, right? But this here, it's saying, well, that would be like the guy with the man dress on. He would take his belt and cinch it up tight so that things were tight, and now he was prepared for battle. Now he was prepared for what was ahead of him. Liken it to, think about anybody in here ever run track in your life? You track stars? I didn't either. I hate running. But, I mean, you ever watch people that run track? They're not running in their Caterpillar work boots. And overalls, right? And helmets, the football, they don't put a football, right? They get themselves prepared to run the race with the best equipment they can. Sometimes we go into life and we think that we're prepared to fight the thing we can, and we are so unprepared because we're not people of the scriptures. We're not following God's word. We're not heeding his word. We're not obeying. We just think we can go out there and do the work without putting in the work. What's important now is to be people who hang with Jesus so that we are prepared for what's going on in our lives. That nothing hinders my progress, my forward progress. We should have a goal in mind. Where are you headed, right? Years ago, Leanne and I, we went down to Texas, and Kyle graduated from the Air Force Academy, the Air Force boot camp. And then we, from there, Leanne, myself, and our daughter Megan, we were going to Colorado. And we were middle of the night in Texas trying to get to Colorado, and the car gets a flat tire. What was important now? AAA, I wish I would have thought of that. What was important now was, Lan, you need to go change that tire. Again, notice I'm distancing away from it. No, what was important now was I need to get to Colorado. That tire is a hindrance. I need to fix that before I can. So I had to get out and change the flat tire. But life is like that sometimes. We have our goal in mind, and we get flat tires in life. And sometimes people, we're still cruising along. We're going to get there on that flat tire. What's important now? Let's fix and repair. Let's stop and adjust. Peter was invited, right, by Jesus to step out of the water or step out of the boat, walk on the water. And as long as his mind was ready for action, focused upon the one who had called him out of the boat, he was walking on that water. Anybody here ever walk on water? He walked on water way more many times than I did. Once. But when his mind started fixing on what was around him, the surroundings, right? Storms are always going to be around. What's important now? Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your minds thinking clearly, no matter what the surroundings. Think about it this way. Our minds, that's where the battle always is, yeah? I know I've said it from here before. I can't stop a bird from landing in my head. But I sure can stop him from building a nest there, right? Sometimes we're content. Oh, you're a cute little bird. Does the enemy ever approach you as this mean, ugly, hairy, beastly looking. No, he approaches you as a cute little bird. Well, that's a cute little bird. You just live up there for a while. And then all of a sudden, I got a bird's nest with a man dress. Not cinched up and ready for battle. But Paul tells us this. I love this scripture. I love a lot of scriptures. You ever find that? I love my favorite scripture. Oh, this is my favorite scripture. This is a good scripture. Philippians 4:8. Paul says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Thinking about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I know that in this world, complain, 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 murmur, 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 blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of hard to do, to focus upon the things that are of excellence, that are of good worthy and of praise. Can you imagine Jesus walking along and there's the crippled guy, a crippled person, or somebody that's just down and out, and Jesus is like, oh my gosh, I just healed somebody 2 minutes ago. Right? Or people come to him with their problems, and he's like, you know what? I'm just not going to listen to you, because you know what I had to do? And let me sit down and tell you. Let's have a cup of coffee. You know, I had to talk to so-and-so last week, and we had to have this conversation about so-and-so and so, and how they were just doing this at work, and I'm just doing this at work. And Jesus doesn't like that. And I know none of us are. I'm not the Holy Spirit here, by the way, so if you're being convicted, it's not me. Trust me, God nailed me on this prior to. Amen, brother. What is true? Peter says the word of the Lord remains forever. Are we students of God's word? Are we absolutely being in? I know that that's like so, it's almost just like we've heard it so many times. Be in prayer and read your Bible and hang with Jesus, that it almost becomes kind of so monotonous, doesn't it? But when we lose the luster of it, when we lose the reality of what we're gaining by hanging with Jesus, by praise and worship, by gathering as a body of believers and just praise and worship. Listen, the reality is, we got a parking lot full of rocks. I don't want one of them taking my place. Huh? Because you know what? Jesus didn't die for any of those rocks. The ransom that Peter was talking about was for me, for you. The ransom that Jesus gave with his blood wasn't for any inanimate thing. It was for me. It was for you. The word of the Lord remains forever. We have it somewhere. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's somewhere. There it is, up high. Oh, that's where it should be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's the deal, church. Here's the deal. Here's my challenge to you. Don't worry, and I'm not done yet, so don't get excited yet. But my challenge number one, roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, and get ready for action. Stop piddling around in the mud. Stop looking at the unsolved projects in your life and look at it and say, it's time to tackle this. It's time to tackle it. Maybe it's something you've been walking through for a long time. Whatever it is, you roll up your sleeves, you put your thinking cap on, you take a deep breath in of the goodness of God's grace and get after it. It's time. What's important now? Get those things done. It's not just thinking clearly, but then it's thinking clearly by action. Peter tells us to exercise self-control. So that's being sober. It's the opposite of being intoxicated. You ever see an intoxicated person? I'm not going to ask if you've ever been intoxicated. I'm not going to put you there. But we've seen intoxicated people. They lose their control. They're not the same. Peter's saying you got to stay sober. Don't fill yourself up with stuff that's going to get you intoxicated with life. You're going to make bad decisions. We need to be mentally prepared for the oppositions and the distractions that are coming along in life. In this life, Jesus was very, very honest with us. He said, you will have troubles and you will have tribulations, right? He didn't lie. He told us straight out, this is going to happen. This life that you're living here on this earth, why? Because this isn't heaven. This isn't glory. Now we should usher heaven in. That's our job. Huh? So we need to be heavenly people that bring the kingdom of heaven here and bring that out. But Jesus said, "But hey, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Are you an overcomer?" Yeah, one person. Come on, church. You got to talk to me here. I'll keep you. Just like Rick, I'll make you stand up. Yeah. Verse 14, he says, that was just the first verse. Yeah, excited in it. I'm going to crank along here. Don't get nervous. You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back to your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God chose you as holy. For all the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy. Wouldn't it be awesome if our children always obeyed us? Anybody here have perfect kids? They always did what you always listened. So, wouldn't it be awesome that if God would be able to say, look at my children, they always listen to me? It'd be awesome. But also the reality of it is that's what, just pause and think about this for a second, because none of us here can claim that we've been holy and fully obedient to God. None of us can. If you can, let me know. You can come up here. I'll sit down there. But none of us can. And God knew that. God knew the risk of giving man free will. He knew that. He knew that this is the most dangerous thing I can give them is free will. Because then they can choose to not love me. They can choose to walk away from me. They can choose to not follow, listen, obey anything. They can choose to totally reject me. They can choose to call me any name in the book but the Holy Father. And God knew that. And he loved us so much anyway. He loved us as a creation so much anyway. He said, I still will create them. I still will make them. I still want them. I still will do anything I can to be like that mother hen that gathers her chicks. And how do I do that? The very God, the very one that created you and I said, I'm going to die for them. I will become a ransom for them. It's amazing. It blows my mind, the love of God. I can't fathom it, but I totally accept it and try to, I'm speechless by it. It blows my mind. And Jesus is looking, God is looking for us to be obedient. And again, he knows that you and I are going to trip up. He knows that you and I are going to mess this thing up, which is thank God we have the Christ, the blood of Christ that covers us, the Spirit of God that gives us that guidance. Samuel said, what is more pleasing to the Lord, burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So many times we want to just give sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Well, if I give a little bit more in the offering, maybe that'll appease the God that he won't remember what I did. It doesn't work that way. God wants our heart. He wants the obedience of us to follow him. If you remember nothing, remember this. Keep your minds focused not on what you have been saved from, but what you have been saved for. Church, don't focus on what you've been saved from, because then we're just focusing on all that garbage and all. It's great to have that testimony, but that testimony has brought you up and put you on another path so that you can get on your road and bring the kingdom of God here on this earth. And when you get that flat tire, when you get that knocked off, maybe even in an accident and you're in the ditch, whatever it would be, you get that thing back up and you get back on that road and you get moving on. Paul said to the Galatian church, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Christ, is Christ being formed in your life? Is he being formed in my life? Will people be able to look at you? Will people be able to look at me and say, uneducated, very common, very plain, but they've been with Jesus. Living as obedient people unto the Lord. Be holy in everything you do. What an unachievable goal we write. I mean, be holy in everything that you do. But yet the Bible doesn't say, hey, you know what? Just do the best that you can. Just give it the old college try, and if you don't get it, don't worry about it. Because God's standards are here. If that was the God that was in this Bible, it says, just do the best you can. Don't worry about it. Just 50%, 52%. What is passing now, Senor? I mean, 60? 60%? Can you imagine if you went to your job and you gave 60% to your employer? How many of us would be looking for a new job? 60%. So give everything to be like God. And you know what? When we fall, when we trip, when we get flat tires, whether by our own choices, our own not thinking, fall upon the grace of God. Don't take that grace, dear loved ones, please. Don't take that grace lightly, because that can be easy to do in our culture as well. Oh, God will forgive me. Oh, the grace of God. The Bible's full of all that grace. He'll forgive me. But the Bible also says God's not mocked. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. He knows our heart. All right. Let me cruise along here. Jesus paid a ransom for your empty life, chapter 1, verse 18. He paid a ransom for empty lives so that he could fill them. It is only an empty life that Jesus can fill. We must choose to be empty from our lives of anything else that needs filled by Jesus. Amen? You can turn me up a little bit. Here. So I've noticed in life there are, and there might be some in between, but there's usually two types of people that go to the gas station. There's those people that go to the gas station because they're burning on fumes in their car. Oh, man, I'm burning on fumes. I got to pull into the car, and they pull in, and they open up the ashtray, and they get the change out or whatever it be, and $5, $10, $13, which, you know, is about that much gas nowadays. That's good. I'll drive around for a couple more minutes here on that. And then there are those people who pull in the gas station, and maybe they're at a quarter tank or half tank, but they know, you know what, I'm getting gas now. And they get, and they're pumping that gas, and they've got the automatic thing, you know, and when it gets done, it comes off. And they're like, uh-oh, and they grab it again, and they do it again, and then you hold it, but the thing still, you know, it'll still automatically shut off. And when it does that, then they look around, and they grab that hose, and they do this. Shake that hose, and they get every last drop of that fuel in that car because they know I want to be prepared for whatever adventure lies ahead. And some of us in our lives, we fill up in the morning, and we're just a couple chains. That'll get me around today. I'm good. Or are you the person who you want to squeeze every last drop? Grab that hose and fill that tank up with every part of Christ in your life for this day because of whatever adventure he may have for you. Because my question to you would be, if you don't fill that tank to the fullest where it can get not one more drop in there, if you're content to fill it at a quarter tank or a third or even a half, my question is, what are you reserving the other half for? What are you reserving that empty space for? What's that empty space going to be filled? Because the Bible says Jesus came to fill empty lives. So if there's something taking up that space, my question would be, what's important now? Is find out what's important. Is something else taking that precedence over Christ? Go to that last section, if you would, AJ chapter 2, those last few verses. Get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with, what's that word there? I can't read it real too well. Be done with what? All? Okay, I couldn't tell if that said all or some. I was just reading from here. My eyes don't. Okay, be done with, what was that again? All deceit. Thank you. Okay. Be done with all deceit. And let's just really honestly, we know that Peter's saying here, and hypocrisy, he's not saying some, he's saying all hypocrisy. He's saying all jealousy. And what kind of unkind speech there, some? A little bit? Oh, all. Thank you. Be like newborn babies. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Cry out for that nourishment. Grab that hope. Get every drop that we can. Because of the power of his word, we can be done with everything, be done with that stuff, hypocrisy and evil deceit and the words and all that stuff. We can be done with that. I'm done, I promise. Here it is. What do you need to be done with? What do you need to be done with? And what do you need to press on towards? What's important now, dear church, for you to be done with? And what's important now that you need to be moving forward with? I can't answer that question for you. I see a lot of husbands and wives here, and I challenge you to have that conversation on the drive home before you even go get lunch. I see if you're here without somebody, I challenge you to find a friend and say, hey, I need to be done with this in my life. And you know what? You might have a whole bench full. God's not even saying, let's get rid of all of it right now. Let's work on this. Let's work on what's important now. Maybe this part. And when that's done, then we'll work on this part. That's what I love about our Savior. I mean, now some of us, maybe God would say, all right, you need to start right here and let's just wipe this thing clean. But God's a good God and he will follow and he will lead. What's important now, church? Let's be like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. The Bible says, Lord God, that your word will remain forever. And God, I pray that the truth of this word would reside within our hearts, Lord, that we would think, Lord, today there would be something about every time we would see the word win, we would think, what's important now? And God, that it would cause us to pause and think, well, what is important right now for my life? What is important? What's happening right now? Maybe it's a relationship that needs to be mended. Maybe it's something going on in my financial world. Maybe it's something going on in my workplace. God, maybe it's just my walk with you that I really need to focus more on. What's important now? That people will be able to look and say, hey, you've been with Jesus. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I pray that saints, you'd be praying, I think the most important question of what's important now is if anybody has never given their life to Jesus, or maybe you had at one time, and you just feel that relationship just really isn't where it needs to be today, and you want to rededicate or give your life to the Lord this morning, if that's you, would you just raise your hand, and let me pray with you? Because that is the most important, what's important now, giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll wait just a moment. Then, Father, I'm grateful, and I pray, God, that means that we're a house of believers right here. So then I pray, God, that means that this house of believers exits these doors into a world that is upside down and chaotic, and that we don't enter into the upside down and chaotic. We continually walk and enter into the kingdom of heaven and hopefully bringing that with us where we go. God, any of us that who have got a half tank right now, fill us up. Fill us up to overflowing. And the reality is, God, I'm going to need more filling up tomorrow because I leak like a sieve. God, we leak. Some of it we voluntarily give out, God, give out of that grace and that love and that kindness of Christ. And yet some of it, God, some of it is just it's taken from us by blows, by choices that we make. And we leak it out. So Spirit of God, we'll need that freshness again tomorrow morning. Pray that you give us that reality, God. That reality every morning. That when we rise up, we can do like what we just did when we began the service. Today is the day I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. If you're close to each other and family, you can do the hug thing. Otherwise, I think we've got to do the COVID-5 thing. I don't know how that works right now. I mean, I wish I could just embrace y'all because God is good and everything all the time. Amen. Go and go with God and bring him with you. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Pray for your pastor this week, okay? Keep Pastor Cynthia in prayer.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.